Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Photographers on the Art of Photography. Charles Moriarty, Stills Department Manager for Star Wars and photographer for Amy Winehouse, including the Frank covers, presents Photographers on the Art of Photography, a series of intimate conversations on what some of the most, with some of the most regard, highly regarded names in the business, including Terry O'Neill, Jonathan Daniel Price, Sue Flood, and Tom Stoddard. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from, live on the line, I presume from the UK, but I'm not exactly sure, is Charles Moriarty. Charles, good morning to you, and where are you, by the way?
Good morning, Giles. I'm in Florence at the moment, actually.
Ah!
Thanks for having me.
That's super. So tell me a little bit about, the art of photography. What inspired you to put down the camera and if you like, pick up your recording device or pick up your pen and your keyboard and interview some of the best-known photographers in the business?
Yeah, I guess they're more conversations, essentially, and they really delve into where these people came from, what their inspirations were, and what led them to create the body of work that they did throughout their lives and still are for many of them. Some people are like Douglas Kirkland, who are in their 80s and who did all the Hollywood glamour. And then you have other people who are, you know, in their 40s and they're still, you know, attempting to untangle ideas to do with identity within the queer sphere and all that kind of thing. Slava McGuddon for one artist. So it's a little bit of going down a journey with each photographer about their own life experiences and where photography has taken them.
You talk about where photography is taking them and going through the life experiences. Is there a common thread underlying all of these experiences? Is somebody who does, you know, Rockwell-esque glamour at one side of the state, at one side of the spectrum, and then some, you know, as you said, you know, stuff with Queer Nation and perhaps more photorealistic imagery. Is there still something that combines both?
I think, you know, the thing that I found when I interviewed all these people is that everyone is so individual and everyone's journey is so personal. I guess the love of the medium itself is what pulls everyone together and you know, the elasticity within that medium to create so much diversity is, you know, really what this book talks to, I think.
So what inspired you to get involved with photography? I mean, what was the spark that lit the flame, as it were, for some of the let's be frank about it, pardon the pun on play on words, the iconic imagery that you've created?
To be honest, I started out as a kid wanting to work in film, and I really only fell into photography when I took Amy Winehouse's album cover for Frank, and that was purely a couple of friends getting together and hanging out, and that turned into an album cover, which then I thought, well, maybe I should try and see what happens with this camera. And then that rolled into, you know, 20 years later, here I am. But it was accidental in many ways, and I had zero training. So it was kind of, I guess, for a little while, throwing spaghetti at a wall. But, you know, over time, that's become a bit more focused and understood.
I mean, you say you basically kind of fell into it. Do you then look back at over a 20-year career at those images that you produced 2 decades ago and think, well, if I was going to do it now, I would have done it this way or that way? I mean, because looking at your Instagram, as I have done, some of the images, there are brilliant images of men. There are brilliant images, you know, some fantastic photography there. And obviously, it looks like you've had a very high level of training. Is that just something that you've learned on the job, and is perhaps that on the job training is more relevant than doing a master's, you know, a graduate course, a postgraduate?
I think, I mean, I've done both. So I started out without any knowledge, and then eventually I studied at LCC in London. But personally, I feel do a foundation course and then get out there and learn and train and experience and learn by doing as much as possible. I think that's going to teach you as much as you need to know. And after that, it's really down to you and what you bring to the table, you know, what your intention is behind your work.
With a skill set like you have, you know, with your photography, is it? Can you translate that to somebody? Do you speak the same language as perhaps, you know, a wildlife photographer? Somebody goes out into the, you know, into the inhospitable terrain and, you know, the jungles of Belize or something like that and takes pictures, or you know, somebody who's involved in, I don't know, sort of paparazzi, how, you know, Hollywood sort of stuff. Is does that skill set still? Could you think you could, if somebody said, right, we want you to go out to, I don't know, Mongolia and take pictures of guys on yaks or something like that, you would be able to translate your skill set to them?
Well, I think a thread that's common through everything in photography is going to be light, and understanding light and having purpose is really the fundamentals. And once you have those two things and obviously your tools, your cameras, you know, it doesn't really matter what the subject is. You just, you know, renegotiate what you're going to do with your toolkit and your light and you move from there. I think it's possible to move. Obviously, there will be people who focus. So, for instance, people like Sue Flood, who photographs penguins and stuff in the Arctic, that is a whole other skill set that takes years to get. You know, you got to sit in the cold all day long and, you know, live in the middle of nowhere in a little igloo type tent. You know, it's a different experience. But I think all photographers are capable, I think, of being mutable to a degree.
This next question. I mean, I'm just thinking about this because you spoke with Slava Magutin, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, about queer fine art. Now, you've got people like Mapleforth who were, you know, 30 years ago, perhaps 40 years ago, I'm showing my age now, who perhaps for the first time moved that sort of art form into the mainstream. Do you still, you know, does that form of art now more than ever need to be seen, need to be discussed, and needs to be brought into the light?
Well, I think there's a huge conversation going on with regard to gender at the moment. And I think something that Slava certainly does is look at bending ideas of gender and looking at where gender fits within spaces that traditionally might be just considered heterosexual or homosexual and trying to, you know, switch that around, see what happens when you cross things over and subvert certain things. And I think with so much of the conversation going on currently with regard to trans and queer kids and you know where that's going, it's very important that someone is focusing on that within the art world and is trying to, you know, tell that story and you know, make something that reflects what's going on for a lot of those people.
I mean, an image, you know, the picture's worth a thousand words, to use the old hackneyed saying, but, you know, the power of the image when we all have social media, when we're all on Instagram, we're on Facebook, TikTok, whatever social media we prefer, now more than ever, perhaps even more so than in, you could say, the halcyon days of the 60s or going back to Capra in, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Now more than ever then, you know, an image, an iconic image, be it, you know, a shot soldier falling, you know, be it a priest possessor putting a flower in a civil guard's rifle, you know, be anything that happened during the Black Lives Matter protests, being, you know, now more than ever, an image can be shared so quickly around the world that perhaps images have now more power and more immediacy and intimacy than before?
It's a big question. I mean, there's a sense of being overloaded with imagery, and to the point where we sometimes lose that connectivity because there's such a continuous flow. But yeah, I think the great thing about apps such as Instagram, etc., is that they do allow people around the world to be able to connect in very quickly into something and move behind. People all of a sudden can communicate in such a split second, whereas, you know, 50 years ago, it might have taken a month to find out something had happened in other parts of the world. And, you know, you're seeing things in real time. So it's a very powerful time for sharing imagery and allowing people to connect with events that are, you know, special or important or grave, you know, dangerous and scary.
Do you think that being a photographer yourself, it was easier to A, gain access, and B, because you were, if you like, speaking the same language, to get that insight about techniques and insight, you know, and stories, you know, from somebody like Terry O'Neill, who people who don't know about photography will recognize the images and perhaps even recognize the name?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I mean, there were certain things that I knew I could ask because of, I had a photography background, but a lot of these questions aren't, I wasn't going for a technical aspect. I'm not trying to find out how Terry lit such and such. It's more about what led you to take that, you know, what was your decision-making behind the image rather than the technical decision. So, you know, I think the conversations within the book are very relatable to anyone in it, you know, who's interested in photography. It's not two photographers having a conversation that people can't relate to.
Was there any photographer that you had a preconceived idea? I mean, had you met any of your subjects before you actually did the interview? Did you know them before, or was it purely, if you like, a cold interview with somebody who was sort of leading in their field?
Most of them were cold, which, you know, when meeting people like, you know, Norman Seeff or Douglas Kirkland was, you know, a little nerve-wracking because I held them in high regard. And they are masters of the craft, so to speak. But, you know, everyone, I think, there was a bit of mutual respect, and they were all so generous. And, you know, that allowed the conversations to really run really nice and be very open and honest. And yeah, it was really great.
I was going to say, because I mean, we still sort of, a lot of people will still hark back to that sort of pop-up, you know, David Hemming sort of thing of the photographer as the star. Were you surprised by how they would open up to you?
Yes and no. I guess once you agree to the interview, you kind of know a little bit what you're getting yourself into. Maybe my own candor is helpful. I'm very easy to talk to, hopefully. So, you know, maybe that helped. But yeah, I mean, I think I was very lucky to have all these conversations with, you know, privileged, really, because some of these photographers are obviously no longer with us. Terry O'Neill is now gone, and also Ava Sereny, who's in the book, we lost just this summer. So, you know, to talk to them about their lives and their art was really a beautiful thing and something to learn from as well.
And also, obviously, you took pictures of the photographers, presumably. I mean, you've got there's a wonderful picture of Douglas Kirkland, sort of with his hands almost in clasped in prayer, as it were. I mean, is that quite nerve-wracking? Is there no worse person to photograph, to do a portrait photograph of, than another photographer?
Well, I got to photograph a few. Some people don't like getting their picture taken, clearly. But, you know, I'm me being one among them. But you know, it was a little nerve-wracking, particularly, you know, you're trying to do justice to one of these people who's, you know, photographed everyone under the sun, like Douglas. And, you know, you're dealing with bad light conditions in the garden. So you're just trying to make sure you get something. Fortunately, I think we did. And he was really up for it as well, which was great. He was sort of pulling lots of faces and doing all the little movements for me, which was very good fun. He's a wonderful man.
The book is called Photographers on the Art of Photography. It's by Charles Moriarty, who we've been speaking to today. Charles, where do you see your photography going? What are you up to at the moment? What's your next project?
I'm currently in Florence. I'm working on a new book with an actor and primarily dancer named Andrea Carucci, who's from around these parts. So, we're sort of just figuring out what that's going to be. And, stay tuned. That'll be in the book out next year, I hope.
Well, we'll look forward to that when we may even shanghai you back onto this program. If people want to find more information about you or about the book, I know that you're on, at least on the Instagram. Where can people find you? Have your own website. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at charlesmoriarty.com. That's probably the best.
The book is called Photographers on the Art of Photography. It's by Charles Moriarty. Charles, thank you so much for your time today, and enjoy Florence.
Thank you very much for having me, Charles.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.